So welcome. We are going to look back at what we spoke about during our last class. We said that our soul has several levels of expression within our body, and the primary first level of expression is our will, our desire, drive, motivation, energy to live. Then it all comes down to intellect, because if you remember, we said that even if I have a great idea, and believe me, I do have many of them, I wake up every single morning with a new great idea, but then when I start thinking about how to implement it, I'm like, oy vey, I would be better off not having this idea. When I have an idea, I need to have a way of implementing it. I need to think it through, which means I need to have a stage of intellect, thoughts. Then afterwards, we said that my thoughts, my intellect, never automatically necessitates any action. What necessitates actions is my emotional world. My emotions, if I want something, if I have a fear of something, I'm going to start running away. If I love something, I want to start running towards it. So these emotions automatically necessitate actions. As we said during our last class, intellect never automatically leads to actions unless it is helped by some outside forces. Emotions always automatically lead to actions unless they are stopped by outside forces. That's why emotions need to be controlled. They always tell you about controlling your emotions. My thoughts never automatically spill out. My emotions do. And then, even if I have a desire to do something and I figured out how to do it, and my specific emotions do lead me towards doing something, then I actually need to roll up my sleeves and do it. That's the executive part. And in godly spheres, this is keter, which is the level of will or desire, drive. Intellect is sechel. Emotions are midot. And executive functions is malchut. This is how it is in our inner world, and this is how it is also in the divine spheres when God is relating to us, when God is working on creating our world, when God is managing our world. His light that we said is emanating from this kav, from this ray that breached the wall of Tzimtzum, is going through these filters. This is our last class, and this class is going to be dedicated to the first sefirot. The first sefirot are right beneath the keter, the desire or will level. As you remember, most of our time, last time, we were talking about what is this will, desire, keter, and you can talk about it for a very long time, but on a basic level, I hope we all understand what it is all about. So now, let's imagine that here we have two friends. This guy is very creative. He has a very creative mind. But because of this, whatever he does is not always very logical. He has very hard time sticking to schedule. He's always late everywhere. My teacher was telling me once, even if you will be coming to places on time, nobody's going to be around to appreciate it. So this is his motto. He's late everywhere. His room is a mess. Everything is everywhere. He has a lot of great ideas. Like I said, he's very creative. He has a lot of wonderful ideas. He's brilliant, but he never follows through with his plan. He's very spontaneous, very emotional, and he is a very talented artist. Then he has a friend who lives right next door. This friend is not so creative at all. We need to brainstorm, we need to come up with new ideas. He barely has any. But He's very logical in everything that he does. He's always everywhere on time. He's very organized. In his refrigerator, vegetables are in alphabetical order. Whenever he starts, he always follows through till the very end. He's very methodical. He's not so emotional. He has more of a cold personality. He always follows all the rules, and he is a very talented scientist. They say early to rise and early to bed makes you healthy and wise, but socially dead. This is this guy right here. Healthy and wise, but socially dead. I just now described to you two stereotypes. These two stereotypes, what they call in America a right side of a brain and a left side of a brain person. We all know that we have two halves of the brain, and our right side controls our left side of the body, and our left side of the brain controls the right side of the body, and more or less, the creative side of the brain is the right side, and the logical side of the brain is the left side. And more often than not, lefties are much more creative and artistic, because if they are lefties, it means that their right side of the brain is more developed, and it means that this is the side of their personality which is stronger. The whole phenomenon of a right brain and left brain was discovered in 1960s by Roger Sperry, and before Roger Sperry, it was not known to the scientific community, but this idea was very well known to Jewish thinkers. Kabbalah is telling us that all of our sefirot are broken up into three columns: the right column, the left column, and the middle column. The first one of the right column is Chochmah, and the first one of the left column is Bina. Chochmah is usually translated as wisdom, but it is a very bad translation. It's probably a misnomer. Chochmah is the first one of the sefirot that relate to our intellectual properties. So in this respect, I guess you could call it wisdom, because wisdom is something of an intellectual nature. But that's where it stops. Because really, Chochmah should be translated as creativity, a eureka moment, or an aha moment of a person. This is the time when a new idea just suddenly falls into your head. A light bulb goes off. That's Chochmah. You are trying to figure something out, and then suddenly, wow, I just figured it out. That's Chochmah. New idea that comes into your head. Chochmah, this new idea, can come into your head from two sources. Either it's just going to come into your head from nowhere, just because you figured it out, or it could come to you from listening to someone else or reading what someone else wrote. So in other words, either it is coming to you out of nowhere, or it's coming to you from someone else, but it's coming to you from the outside. That's why it says in Kabbalah, Chochmah mi'ayin timatzeh, Chochmah comes out of nowhere. And this is why, in order to achieve the level of Chochmah, one has to forget about himself. If I am thinking about myself, I will never have this eureka moment when I will discover something new. I need to be totally consumed by the subject I'm focusing on. If I'm listening to someone else talking or I'm reading a book, I have to be totally consumed by whatever I'm reading or whoever I'm listening to. So Chochmah, besides for being the creativity power that we have, it is also our power to forget about ourselves and dedicate ourselves to something else, to be nullified in something else. This is what Chochmah is. And we all know that in order to learn something, what does learning mean? Learning means acquiring new knowledge. One has to be a humble person. One has to know how to put himself aside. Someone who is very arrogant will never be able to learn. Someone who thinks he knows everything will never learn anything new. This is Chochmah. What is Bina? Bina is the other half of our head, the left side of our brain. And this is logic, analytical thinking, discipline. Word Bina in Hebrew has several etymological cousins. One of them is boneh, which means to build. Livnot in Hebrew means to build. Bina is allowing me to build on what I have. Bina also comes from the word bein, which means in between. It is allowing me to split ideas, to separate thoughts. When I have a new brainstorm, when I have a new thought that just came into my head, I need to analyze it. That's Bina. I just had a new idea. I know how to solve this problem. Let's try this. But then I'm thinking, one second, can I really try this? I need to, first of all, break it down. That's Bain. And then I need to build on it. I need to see what is it basing itself on, what is inside, and then what are going to be the consequences, what is it leading to. In Kabbalistic terms, it's called Seichel Halbasha and Seichel Hafshata, which means the thought process of literally dressing and the thought process of undressing. I need to be able to look at the source of something, and I need to be able to look at the consequence of something. Every thought process could travel in one of the two directions. Either I can look at where does this idea lead me to? In other words, what are the consequences? What will it mean for this aspect of my life, for that aspect of my life? What's going to happen in 10 years? How it's going to develop itself? What's the next step afterwards? That's all dressing. Seichel Halbasha. Seichel Hafshata, undressing, is the thought process of drilling down, trying to analyze where does something come from, finding out the source. In other words, it's the difference between engineering and reverse engineering. If I have an idea, I could try to reverse engineer it. I could try to analyze where does it come from, what led me to thinking this way, how did it happen. When something goes wrong, I want to know what went wrong over here. That's the thought process of undressing, Seichel Hafshata. If I'm trying to analyze someone's behavior, if I'm trying to see my own thoughts, why is it that my friend can think of this and I cannot? What is it that holds me back from realizing it on my own? Or I could try to figure out what is it that pushed me in the direction of certain thought. Let's say I know that in the past I was able to figure something out, and right now I just don't have any ideas of this thought. And why is it? So all of this, both of these abilities are in Bina. Bina, if you wish, has two compartments, deep inside and tall, high structure upwards. Bain and Boneh. I need to sit down and figure out all the details. That's Bina. So now we understand that there are people who are better at Chochmah, and then there are people who are better at Bina. There are people who are very creative. They come up with new ideas all the time. But these are the people who usually have very hard time thinking in a disciplined manner. They are great at thinking out of the box, but they are very bad at thinking inside the box. They cannot contain themselves inside the box. They come up with new ideas, but then very often they have a hard time analyzing them, and even harder time implementing them, because to implement them, you need to have discipline, you need to have attention to detail. They are better at overall thinking, general thinking. And as we see, Chokhmah and Binah really contradict each other. Even though they both are parts of our intellect, but they are sitting there in our head in a constant friction with each other, in a constant fight with each other. For example, we mentioned sitting and learning in a class. You are listening to me right now. I am presenting a thought to you. You are following what I'm saying. You are listening to what I'm conveying to you. If you will now start thinking about your own practical applications of what I'm saying, if you will now start thinking, oh, I understand now this and this and this, if you will now start developing the thought that you just heard from me, there's going to be Binah. But you know what's going to happen? You're going to lose me. It happened to me in my learning a million times. I heard something from my teacher, which I thought, wow, that's unbelievable. And I right away started thinking how it applies to my life. And I figured out a lot of wonderful things, but I lost my teacher at this moment. Because Binah came and pushed out Chokhmah. You could either listen to your teacher, or you could think yourself. You cannot do both at the same time. Our brains work either in Chokhmah mode or in Binah mode. They don't work in two modes together. They clash. Either I could listen to someone else, or I could think myself. This is why we said that Chokhmah is my ability to put myself aside, to nullify myself. Because if I'm thinking myself, if I am working now in Binah mode, I have turned my own brain on, I'm analyzing things on my own, I cannot absorb new information from outside. We already mentioned that in people's character, Chokhmah people and Binah people usually have a hard time getting along with each other. Why? Because one is thinking big and he is getting annoyed that the other one is getting bogged down with little details, and the other one is getting annoyed at the fact that this person can never think things through. So the interesting part is that in order to do anything in life, you need to have people who are thinking out of the box and people who are thinking in the box. You need to have people who are capable of coming up with new ideas. And you need to have people who are capable of following through with each little detail in their head. So you need to have both. But as we said, these people are going to be clashing with each other. Their personalities are going to be clashing all the time. They cannot get along. This is just like in our head. Chokhmah and Binah is always going to be clashing with each other. Chokhmah and Binah are always going to be clashing with each other. I want to ask you a question. Chokhmah and Binah, which side of this equation would you put our ability to communicate? Is our ability to communicate part of Chokhmah or part of Binah? Communication is always Binah. Communication is Binah because in order to convey any thought or any feeling, I need to be able to break it down. If I stub my toe and it hurts, I'll just say, ah, ah, is not a communication. It's just a scream. It's a cry. People will ask me what happened. I'll tell them I stubbed my toe. But at the moment when I stub my toe, my feelings are so strong that I'm not capable of conveying to other people what exactly happened. I cannot communicate. To communicate, I need to have a more disciplined approach. By the way, this is why people who are more Chokhmah people are usually artistic. Because any form of art is usually using expressions which are not as limited as disciplined thinking requires. Painting, music, or poetry usually communicates on a much deeper level than just orderly method of thinking. And this is allowing people who cannot fit their thoughts or feelings into small boxes of words and binary code of language to communicate. Another interesting part of this whole discussion is men and women. Kabbalah says that every single human has both male and female side to them, but people who are men, they just have a stronger male side, that's why they're men, and people who are women, they have a stronger female side, that's why they're women, but men also have a female side to them, and females also have a male side to them. We both have Chochmah and Binah, but most of men are better at Chochmah, and most of women are better at Binah. Not all, and this is because there are men who are more manly, and then there are men who are less manly. There are women who are more feminine, and then there are women who are less feminine. So, in other words, if somebody is born a woman, it doesn't mean that she has a very feminine personality. There are women with not such a feminine personalities. But a woman with a feminine personality is more leaning towards Binah, and a woman with a more masculine personality is leaning less towards Binah. A more masculine man is leaning towards Chochmah. How do we see that? Well, first of all, we see it in biology. Chochmah is the initial push, and Binah is development. When a new life is conceived, how is it happening? A man is the one who is giving the initial push, the Chochmah, the semen, which is developed later on in the woman's body. So this initial Chochmah has everything in it. It just needs to be developed and has been developed for 9 months by a woman. We also see it in personalities. Women are usually better with details. When we have our kiddush in the shul, I tell people that if there is a table that was set up for kiddush, I can always tell if it was set up by men or women. If there are napkins on the table, it was set up by women. Men are less detail-oriented, usually, again, as a stereotype. We also see this in communication. Communication is on the side of Binah. Women are better at communication because they have a greater attention to detail. Binah is also not only allowing us to communicate, it is also allowing us to connect to other people. Chochmah by itself cannot connect because Chochmah cannot even express itself. When I had a new idea, if we are walking together down the street and suddenly I have a light bulb going off in my head, I have a new idea, I have a brainstorm, and I tell you, wow, 1 second, you're telling me, what? What did you just discover? I won't be able to tell it to you yet. I need to analyze it in my head before I can express it to you. So Chochmah itself does not allow me to connect with other people yet. Binah allows me to connect with others. So women are much better at connecting with others. And this is also why women need connection to others more. Women are usually team players because Chochmah is totally fine by itself. I have a new idea. Yeah, that's it. I have an idea. What else do I need? I don't need anything else. Binah is the one that analyzes all the details and realizes that I'll need some other resources. I need some other help. Binah usually needs help. Chochmah does not need help. So this is why the usual woman is leaning towards Binah and the usual man is leaning towards Chochmah. But as we said, both men and women have both a feminine and a masculine side to them. So that's why both men and women have both Chochmah and Binah. So this is all in our human nature. We said that these sefirot are present by us only because we are a reflection of godly truth. We were created in God's image. So now we understand how it works with spiritual worlds as well. The first sefirah is Chochmah. It says in Tehillim, Ma rabu ma'asecha Hashem, how plentiful, how many are your creatures, O God, kulam bechochmah asita, you all made them with wisdom, as we usually translate Chochmah, wisdom. You will read this phrase and you will think, well, we are saying that there are many different creatures in this world and God created them with a lot of thought. They are made very smartly. You know, they say he was a smart man who created God. And others say he was a smart God who created a man. God made this world and it's pretty good. You know, God has to be rather smart. This verse in Tehillim has a deeper meaning. Ma rabu ma'asecha Hashem. How many are your creatures, O God? Kulam b'chokhma asita. They all come, they all emanate from chokhma, from the level of chokhma. Which means, chokhma is just one concentrated thought. Before it has a chance to be split into many different parts. It's like this semen that creates a new life of a baby before it has a chance to develop. So now we look at this world and we say, wow, there are so many different creatures. They are so different. But you know what? They all come from one unifying source, which is Chochmah. All what we see is Binah splitting apart different particles of Chochmah. That's what this world is. And we know that Chochmah is what allowed God to create this world. Also, because Torah, we know, is godly wisdom. We look at the Torah and people view it in different ways. Some people who acknowledge how brilliant the book is, they will say, well, you know what? This guy, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, who wrote the Torah, he was pretty smart. Others say, no. Torah was given to him by God. He looks, yeah, you know what? I'm ready to agree that it was given to him by God. But what does it mean? That God created the world. And then he gave us the Torah, which is telling us how to behave in this world. Well, Kabbalah is telling us something totally different. We tend to think that God created the world and then he gave us the Torah that tells us how to behave in this world. Kabbalah says that it was the other way around. God first created the Torah. God wrote the Torah, and the Torah is God's wisdom, Chochmah. This is the Torah. Torah comes from Chochmah. And then God used the Torah as a blueprint for this world. Any builder has to have a blueprint in order to erect anything. You cannot put up a building if you don't have a blueprint. Torah is the blueprint. So when we say, Ma rabu ma'asecha Hashem, how many are your creatures, O God? Kulam b'chokhma asita. You made them all with chokhma. We imply that God wrote the Torah, which is chokhma. And then from there, he created the world. So now we understand how in godly spheres, chokhma is the first step. Right after Keter, which we said is the initial energy that comes to create this world, then this initial energy comes into the intellectual spheres. But in these intellectual spheres, there's Chochmah, which is just the general idea that needs to be later on developed into Bina. And generally, we're going to see throughout the whole study of Sefirot that there is a right and left column, Chochmah and Binah, and underneath them are going to be other Sefirot that we are going to be talking about later. And then there's also a middle column, which we're going to be talking about next class. And this will allow us to move down further with understanding of the Sefirot. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, please let me know.